I don't feel safe.
He won't leave me alone.
I'm really concerned about my roommate.
How do I file a report?
This is The Ride Along, created by Campus Security and Public Safety for the Gonzaga community.
Hello, and welcome to The Ride Along, a podcast designed to teach safety, inspire change, and build community. I'm your host, Philip Tyler, Crime Prevention and Education Officer with Campus Security and Public Safety. Today, we welcome the incomparable Becky Wilkie. Today, we're going to have a real honest conversation about campus security and public safety and the college leadership life. So welcome, Becky.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks for having me. And I have to say, I think that's the first time I've been called incomparable.
Okay.
So I appreciate that.
It won't be the last, I can assure you that. So you're the director of campus security and public safety, a profession that is predominantly male. And this is an important and historical achievement, not only for you, but Gonzaga University. So should we call you Madam Director?
Well, that's usually reserved for the president, but I would prefer Becky. That
okay.
That'd be great.
Becky it is. You know, we can both agree that women in law enforcement and or security, and particularly in leadership positions, is both a good thing and something wherein the numbers fall short of the need. And we'll talk about that as we get into our podcast. But let's start like we start every podcast. Tell us one thing you're thankful for.
Okay. Well, thank you. Before I go there, I just want to congratulate you on this podcast. I know this has been an initiative and a vision for you for years, so kudos to you. I'm very proud of you for getting this going, and thank you for that.
Well, thank you for saying
that. So I'm thankful
that.
For that.
Okay.
I'm so thankful for so many different things, so just to pick one is impossible. So I'm going to pick two. The first one, I think, is probably what is on everybody else's mind, is that I'm thankful that we are opening up campus. I'm thankful that we're going to be able to see students and
Amen.
Work with them. And our fellow staff members, it's going to be nice not to have to try to remember people's names again, you know. And when you're away from people or on vacation, you're like, shoot.
Yeah.
Forgot who I need to talk to. So that's going to be great. It's going to be kind of back to semi-normalcy. But the one thing I'm thankful for every day is do-overs. And what I mean by that is every day God graces us with the opportunity to reflect and discern on the day before so we can be better for ourselves and for each other in the next day. So that's something I am very thankful for every day. So,
wow, I love that.
Yeah.
Do-overs.
Yeah, do-overs.
Okay. Yes. Yes. So now let's talk about you.
If we must.
You are part of the 1%. And by 1%, I don't mean like outlaw motorcycle gangs and 1%. We mean that 1% of the police chiefs or campus security directors that are women. Mm-hmm. And we must acknowledge that women belong in these places wherein decisions are being made. Can you speak to the importance of that and how you came to ascend to your current position? And I might add, Becky, in a previous podcast, our behavior intervention coordinator mentioned and talked about how prideful she was about serving under you. And I can really attest to that, because that's one of the things I tell people all the time that's kept me here at Gonzaga for the 5 years I've been here. So thank you for that. But speak to that and the importance in your mind and how you came to ascend to this current position.
Wow. Well, thank you for those compliments. I'm feeling the pressure now.
No pressure.
I appreciate that, and I will speak from a security and law enforcement perspective, you know, based on my experiences. And I think what's important is a little bit of a history lesson. So back in the 1800s, women were involved in law enforcement, but only really in supporting roles, such as, jail matrons or
yes.
working with women and children's services or administrative functions, really not in patrol, right? So it wasn't until 1908 before the first female patrol officer was actually sworn in to
wow.
her role as a patrol officer. So we've come a very long way, in not very long much time, from going from, and when I say we, females, from a supporting role to women in leadership positions. And it's very important to touch on, what you said is, when we have to make decisions, quickly and, you know, and many times and often in critical situations, you need to have faith in that leader, right?
Absolutely.
So we've had to overcome several barriers and obstacles to get to that place. What was discovered during all that time in the 1800s and you know, first female chief was sworn in 1942. Right.
Oh, okay.
So what was really cool, what was discovered back then is that there's value in a female leader's perspective and approach, especially involved in those critical incidents or when you have to make a decision really, really quick.
Sure.
A lot of empathy and a lot of discernment go into those decisions, right? And you have a bigger perspective of how those decisions are going to affect a larger population. And it's not real tunnel vision, not black and white for sure. What's even more interesting is how long it took for the public acceptance of female and males working together in a more male-dominated industry, right? So what I mean by that is it was amazing to see the synergy between male and female officers at a call.
Okay.
Right? There's this energy that goes between the different perspectives, and a lot of times that brings balance to unbalanced situations. So that's when people started kind of waking up a little bit and understanding that, wow, there's really a lot of value, not just in the female position, but also how they interact with the male officers. So it's a kind of a different perspective there.
I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, I had to endure a little bit of that, right?
Okay.
So how I ascended here, I started in law enforcement. I was the first female police officer hired for the department I worked for in the 90s.
Wow.
Early 90s. And I had to go through what I call a little female boot camp. And what I mean by that is I had to consistently prove myself to become accepted into the group when I'm watching my male counterparts automatically be accepted into the group based on their gender.
Sure.
And so, you know, you
yeah, that's okay.
What I learned to do in my 27 years of experience, whether it's law enforcement or security, is to ignore the naysayers and ignore the passive aggressiveness, and because self-doubt is going to sabotage me, right?
Yeah,
it sabotages anybody.
It's not what the others say, it's what you say about yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you start listening to that, you start believing it, and I just don't let it get to me. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes I've found, probably more recently this year, could be a little bad. what I mean is things can happen around me and I'm not recognizing it because I don't want to give it to the time. Very, very rarely here at Gonzaga will I experience something like this. So I could be in a meeting and somebody could say something or infer something and I'll ignore it and continue going, or not recognize that it's actually being passive aggressive or sexist until somebody brings it to my attention later. That, hey, did you recognize what they were saying? It's like, you know, I just really don't have time for it. So that's kind of my approach to that. When I started at Gonzaga, I really felt in 2009, I felt celebrated.
Okay.
I felt valued.
By the university as a whole by the department itself?
Both.
Okay.
Both. And, you know, again, you know, I'm not being naive to the fact that there are some folks that probably feel differently about, you know, females in leadership roles, but I certainly feel valued and celebrated by the people that I worked with and for and who worked for me. So
that's outstanding. And so because of that feeling, Becky, is that what kept you here at Gonzaga?
That's what more or less brought me here.
Okay.
In 2009, when the position of associate director came open, I had several people reach out to me and say, hey, you should really, you know, put your application in for this position. And I was thinking...
Internal or external? Or both?
External.
Okay, wow.
External. Yeah, some colleagues from the school district.
They knew you had value to the university.
Yeah, they said, hey, this position's open. You would do great at this. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, so I did what any good investigator does. And that was to research the university and figure out why these people thought I'd be a good fit. And so what I did is kind of did a little reverse interview in my head. You know, this employer has to have a clear mission. They have to value my skill set. their values and vision have to parallel mine. And then I did a site visit. Other than, gosh, in the 80s, for a volleyball camp, I've never set foot on Gonzaga's campus. So I walked around, and I actually had a physical response. I felt like I had this calming feeling come over me, and I felt like I belonged here. In what capacity, I'm not sure, but I just had that feeling that I knew I needed to be here.
Wow.
It was kind of eerie, and I still get goosebumps because I remember the moment and I remember the place on campus that I was. And so it was just like, wow, you know, and then the people, okay, the people that greeted me, the people I talked to, because I did, I went around, talked to people. I just felt so welcome. So what keeps me here is, you know, the fact that we have a lot of work to do, the fact that I get to work with the most amazing people. I'm sorry, I might be biased, but I can recognize my bias. And we have an amazing team at Security that's become my family. So definitely the work with the students and our staff is amazing. And I've always had a work motto that no matter where I'm working, if I'm not continuing to be productive or having fun, then it's time to leave. Okay. And boy, do we have a lot of work to do. I'm feeling very productive and I'm having a blast. So
okay.
I see myself still here doing the work.
Outstanding. I love the story that you felt something in, because as walking back to the office to do this interview, conduct this interview, past the sign that says your faith grows here. Mm. And I think your faith, mm-hmm, in the organization and its leadership and their support for you has grown exponentially since you've been here. Would that be an accurate description?
Yes, that would be a perfect description.
So with every new leader, they bring with them a vision for their organization. What's yours, Becky? And what should the listeners out there know about what you're trying to accomplish with campus security and public safety? I mean, I know that being a subordinate of yours, and I appreciate that. But what would our listeners know? What's your vision and what should they know about what you're trying to accomplish with campus security and public safety?
Well, feel free to interject. Let you know if I miss something, please. My vision, I believe, is a shared vision. But I really want the folks at campus security and public safety to not settle for status quo.
Okay.
Right? To consistently review and improve our response and our processes, especially when we're working with students, right? So part of that too is, you know, let's staying up to date on technology and innovation. How can we help our students? For example, here's my shameless plug, the new Rave Guardian app, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we worked hard, and this was a student ask of the university. It's like, hey, you know, we need to get with modern times and let's use this application, and it'll help us stay safe. It'll help campus security help us stay safe, right? Because security is a shared vision. It's a shared responsibility. So we got that up and going at the end of semester last year, and we're going to be upping our marketing campaign for it again. So hopefully we'll get more and more students signed up for that. But the point is that we listen to our students, right? And,
yes, ma'am.
And which is super, super important for our vision. And when I say our vision, I mean our vision. I know you asked me about mine, but really this is a shared vision. Some other creative ideas that we have, because, you know, I'm always encouraging folks to come up with some ideas that'll help our students. Those will be unveiled later this year, so I'm not going to go into that. I don't want to spoil it. But
don't want to give them too much.
No. Yeah. But I believe what's really important for your audience to know is, I know the most important part of my job is to create a safe space for our department to celebrate our strengths, recognize our weaknesses, and improve on them. This also creates a safe space for us to be vulnerable. I know that I'm in a place right now where I feel very comfortable being vulnerable with my people, and when I say my people, the department,
sure,
and also my superiors.
Okay.
You know, my leadership. And it's so important, because what that does is it we can highlight our vulnerabilities, and that increases trust and transparency within the community we serve. And if we can't be honest with ourselves, how are we going to be honest with others, right? So
yeah.
So it's very, this is a very safe place for us to have those conversations and to recognize what we need to work on in order to help our community.
Mm. Yeah, you mentioned to recognize our weaknesses, to improve our strengths, and those kind of things. And one of the things that I've always appreciated about your leadership with Campus Security and Public Safety is that you go out ahead of incidents to get that training required for your team. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've had implicit bias training, we've had, you know, profiling training, we've had de-escalation training before these terms became niche, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And so when these things occurred on our campus, we were prepared for those.
Yes.
You know, that didn't mean we always made the right steps in the process, because you talked about improving, and we always do a good job of debriefing after that. But can you speak to the training that you're really working to ensure all your campus security officers, communications or patrol, are getting?
Yeah, you know, that was a super proud moment when folks came to us and said, hey, you know, you should really do this training. And I could say, we've already done it.
Yeah.
We've already done implicit bias training. We've done so much training. What I think is a really cool point is that, do you know that our department has over 530 years of combined security, law enforcement, or military experience?
That's impressive.
It is very impressive. So we have a specific skill set. And most of our department was hired with that skill set already in place. So they came with that knowledge, right? We've learned from each other. I learn from officers every day. I learn from dispatchers every day. We are sponges. We're human beings. We crave knowledge. That's in our DNA.
Yeah.
So we're constantly wanting to train and do better and hone our skills, right? So our department, I'm very proud of, trains consistently in de-escalation, bias, diversity and hate investigations, critical incident exercises. You know, we just got done with a bunch of active shooter exercises, bomb threats, hazardous material leaks. It just goes on and on.
Yeah.
And on.
Autism training, as a matter of fact.
Autism training, even driving. Some driving skills, you know, some of us need to work on a little bit more.
Sure.
But, you know, what's really cool is when we're invited to several clubs and their meetings to discuss, you know, unique needs of the underrepresented students.
Oh, the affinity clubs you're speaking of.
Yes, underrepresented.
Okay.
Yeah,
understood.
Exactly. And you know, they have unique needs, and we need to
Absolutely.
Know that. And that's how we learn, you know.
We
train in first aid, threat assessment. I mean, I could go on and give you the group's resume. But what's important here, too, is just to know that we know why we're here.
Yes, ma'am.
We know why we were hired. And we recognize that we are a resource for our staff, faculty, and students. But more importantly, our primary responsibility is to ensure that a safe living and learning environment for our students to have those successful experiences here at Gonzaga. And if we don't consistently train and hone our skills, then we're really hindering the mission. And not just our own, but the mission of the university.
Yeah. I love that. That's one of the things I really love about coming to work here. We're never standing still. And much of that is because the director doesn't allow us to stand still, first of all, not only in duty, but in learning.
Yeah.
We're always seeking out, or you're always seeking out for our team here, trainings and events and learning so we can better our skill set.
Right.
You spoke about being a sponge. You're known for your ability to communicate and develop relationships across diverse departments. I think part of that is because you soak up the information that people share with you. You listen well. So is that something that you instill in your officers, or is that just Becky in general?
Well, I think part of that too is I'm just such a social person.
Okay.
And I just love to reach out to people. I don't care about titles. I mean, obviously I respect people and their titles, but I love people. And, you know, the last couple of years have been really tough on me because I am such a social person, you know, and it feels like those relationships kind of wane, right? So, I know it was extremely tough on some of our students too, so I can only imagine what they went through. But building relationships across campus is it's imperative to the successful operations of any department on campus,
okay.
right? Not just ours. But I recognize that we can't do this alone. We can't build trust. Our officers know that building relationships is essential, and it's really fun to see the relationships that our officers foster with other folks across campus, and really. watching it on different shifts.
Okay.
Right? So the relationships are in relation to when you're working and who you come in contact with and who you reach out to. So the needs at 3 a.m. are different than the needs at 3 p.m.
Right? I would agree,
so we have our late night folks that work. You know, they have this special relationship with plant or housing and residence life. And if we don't know what resources are available to us, then again, you know, we're hindering our response. It's delaying our success. So when you build those relationships, you know in the moment who mm-hmm. you can rely on. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's about, is relying on each other. Because, again, we don't do this alone. The university doesn't do this alone. It's the relationships you build to be successful.
And those relationships are so important. Given the tenor of our nation recently with police-community relations, and we know that we don't identify ourselves as police officers. We don't have the full commission here at Gonzaga University. But sometimes our community writ large sees us as law enforcement. How do you bridge that? How are you able to bridge that gap and still build relationships? How are you able to build such a trusting, as you describe yourself, relationship with our former and current GSBA president? How are you able to build on that GSBA Security Council? Is it just your unique ability to build relationships, or is there a skill set that we can share out mm-hmm. to the broader university they can use to build these relationships?
Yeah. I appreciate the compliment. Honestly, it's being transparent. It's information sharing. People are afraid of what they don't know, or they're intimidated by what they don't know. They think that something is way bigger than it really is. So, you know, in my past relationship with FSA, if there was something happening, I made sure that she knew what was happening and the correct information, because people will run, and you know, that elephant gets bigger. Right?
So important.
If you don't have the information. Now, granted, there are some times where you just can't, based on some privacy issues or some investigative reasons why you can't share all the information. But it's just having those transparent conversations with people. They just want to know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're curious. We are human beings. That's what we are. We're problem solvers. And if we can't solve the problem with the people who know the information, then we're going to go find other people, right?
Okay.
We're going to, hey, did you hear about? And then that conversation starts, and then it becomes a bigger issue than what it really is. So I don't think I have any special powers about bridging that, but I believe that, you know, we've been very successful, you know, given the atmosphere that we're working in.
Sure.
Because our work has never changed.
Okay.
We're here for the students, and most people know that. So when other folks compare us to law enforcement or throw us in the pool of, you know, defund the police, it just takes a little bit of education and letting them know, look, we're a service for you. We're an extension of your parents. You know, we're a resource. We're not here to hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, we...
We're part of your Gonzaga family.
We are part of your experience and your family, and we want to wrap our arms around you. And whether that's students or staff.
Okay.
You know, because we've had some staff members that kind of question, you know, what do you do? And all you need to do is sit down and say, this is who we are.
Sure.
This is what we do. Oh, I never knew you provided that service. That's pretty cool. So it's knowledge. If people just had the knowledge.
So that brings to mind two questions. First, is that what inspired you to reach out to the incoming GSBA president, your willingness to be transparent and share information? And then for our listeners, can you talk about all the different departments within campus security and public safety? Because a lot of them think we're just going on unlocking doors and giving students safety escorts, which we love to do.
Sure, yeah.
That's one of our greatest points of contact. But can you talk to those two things? Is that what inspired you to reach out to our new GSBA president to be transparent and to develop that relationship coming out of this pandemic? Or we're still in the pandemic.
Sure.
And then two, speak to all that your department does that many may not know.
Yeah. You know, I believe that goes back to, you know, one of those things I'm thankful for. It's a do-over, right? I'm learning like everybody else. And I learned the value of working with our GSBA folks from last year and Security Council in one of the toughest years that we've ever had.
Oh, yes.
And how easy it was. You know, so even for, you know, we understand GSBA has a big responsibility, and where we fit in there was kind of questionable and unknown. You know, I was encouraged by you. I was encouraged by others. Like, we need to get in front of GSBA and be a partner for them. And seeing how willing GSBA was with us just made it a lot more comfortable to be able to have those very authentic conversations with them. And the fact that we were invited back to be on their security council, because, you know, we need to be that conduit between the students and probably some critical incidents that are happening, whether it's on or off campus.
Yeah.
So I learned the value of that.
Yeah.
And I've worked with GSBA presidents in the past, but not this intimately. So,
okay.
So again, it's just, it's learning. It's learning the resources, and they are a huge resource for us.
And does that help with misinformation or disinformation when those things come up? Because inevitably they do.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's exactly, you know, one of the things that I've learned is some of the incidents that had happened, had students had that information, then you know, we could tamp out the fire a little bit, because they, again, they're humans too. They want to know.
Sure.
And our students are amazing. They do want to go and save the world. They do want to solve all the world's problems, and that's what we do. We're problem solvers. So
in that problem solving world, tell us about all the different things that your campus security and public safety office does. Because I don't think the broader audience knows. They see our cars. Yeah. They see our officers from time to time, primarily with unlocking room doors or getting a student safely from one part of the campus to another. But that's not all we do.
No, it's not. And it's funny because we have people that have been here for a very, very long time. You know, a lot of staff and faculty who, you know, back in the day, we used to carry toilet plungers in our cars and we would help plant with, you know, unplugging toilets. And so people, you know, we have grown as the university has grown, and we've recognized the services that are necessary and that we need to provide for our students, staff and faculty, for our community at large. So we do many things over here at campus security. We have many offices now, and you know, one of them is you spoke to Taylor Jordan. She's the Behavioral Intervention Team Coordinator.
One of the titles
she's the Clery Compliance Officer.
Yes, ma'am.
She is the COVID Coordinator.
Yeah.
That was, you know, and I do want to speak to that really quick. She was brought in as a fixed term for the COVID Coordinator position last year, and they extended her contract. And that says a lot to the caliber of people that we hire. She's a rock star.
Yeah.
Everyone in our department is a rock star.
That speaks to that depth of information, that breadth of experience you talked about earlier.
The experience and just the fact that, you know, we do collaborate very well. So, and then there's yourself, Philip Tyler, Crime Prevention Education Officer, an invaluable tool, not just for our students, but for staff and faculty. You know, when you're doing the crime prevention through environmental design and you're trying to help keep our campus safe with lighting and trimming back bushes and things like that. But,
yes, ma'am.
But an important part of your job is to ensure that our students know who they can call when a crisis happens. You know, speaking to all the students with your safety talks, being present in those meetings with you know, the different groups on campus, and helping with active shooter and training staff and faculty. And I mean, I can go on and on and on, but your service is invaluable, and the way you approach it is bar none. So I do appreciate you. We have parking and transportation.
Okay.
So you know, we help out with the parking permits and transportation issues on campus, and we coordinate with folks who are having events so we can cone off different areas on campus and help coordinate the best places for some folks to park. We have our office coordinator who is instrumental in the parking area for sure, but also, you know, the regular administrative duties that you have to do every day. And she's been with the university extremely long time. So we have our communication center,
which is invaluable.
We are the hub for calls. We have the easiest number on campus to remember, 2222. And when in doubt, we get the call. When people don't know who else to call, we get it. So talk about collaboration and having that information and resources at our fingertips. We have to know that.
Okay? Yeah. If you don't know that number, again, that's 509-313-2222.
Another shameless plug.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
So our dispatchers, they monitor alarms, they monitor radio traffic, not just for campus security, but for maintenance after hours. We listen to the Spokane Police Department radio channels and fire channels to see if there's any critical incidents happening around our campus or coming towards us, so we can get those emergency notifications out quicker, which is another service that we provide.
They're essentially our 911
dispatchers
for the university.
They're essentially our emergency dispatchers. You know, again, the alarms, card access, they're seeing if there's any alarms or any doors being held open, you know, that make our students vulnerable to, you know, non-community mm-hmm. members coming in and taking advantage.
And patrol, obviously.
Well, yeah, patrol.
Yeah.
Yes, we have our patrol officers who work 24/7. All of us work pretty much 24/7, it seems like. But yeah, our officers, we have 3 to 4 folks on shift at all times. 24/7, 365,
and they don't simply secure our campus proper, but they are liaisons for our neighborhood residents too, because we have students living out in the Logan neighborhood, correct?
Yes. So, you know, it's we love giving escorts to students, because that's when we get to really stop and have some conversations
Absolutely.
With students. So that's one of the services we provide. Yeah, you forget your key or your ID card. Even staff and faculty, you know, we do key services.
Yes.
But the bulk of what we do is a lot of crime prevention, right? We're out on patrol. we're watching what's happening on and near campus. If, unfortunately, this does happen when students become victims of a crime, you know, we're there to help them, guide them through the process, you
sure.
know, to contact Crime Check. We take reports. We do investigations. You know, a lot of officers, along with our communication dispatch center, you know, we have over 600 cameras on campus. And, you know, we can see that in dispatch. A few of us can see them when we're doing investigative follow-up. And
a lot of good stuff. We're close. So let's talk about then, what would your legacy be then, Becky? Every leader has to leave at some point in their career. What would you like your legacy to be when you leave Gonzaga?
You know, this is really hard for me to wrap my head around. Again, it's kind of hard to talk about myself and in that way, but I guess I would like to be remembered as being somebody who is an authentic and transparent leader. I know that I can't do this without my team, not without campus security and public safety, which I affectionately call as the dream team.
We'll take that.
Yes, we are the dream team. So I can't own that legacy by myself.
Okay.
It's not my own. I believe that whoever and whatever I am when I leave here, it's because of the people that that I got to lead.
Okay. I love that answer. I love that. Yes. So we're coming into a new calendar school year. We haven't had our students back on campus for a long time. Many of our faculty and staff members we haven't seen for a long time. What's one message you want to send out to the broader university as we open back up for what we hope is a normal, air quotes, academic school year?
I would say, first of all, thank you for coming back. Thank you for believing in the Gonzaga mission.
Yes.
And yes. Being part of that, you know, without you, there's no us. And please be patient. Show some grace.
Mm.
Everybody is in this together. And I know we've been saying that for over a year and a half, but we truly are in this together. Everybody has their tipping point. So just be patient. Show some grace. Extend grace. And whether that be with your teachers, you know, the folks that you're swiping your card at the cog with, you know, if there's a technical difficulty, just please be patient. We love you. We can't wait to see you again. And I apologize if I run up to you and get in your face and say hi, because I'm so excited to see you. And I just want to experience this year with you.
Yeah. Again, that goes back to your ability to communicate and develop these relationships. So how does one get a hold of the director, Madam Director? Can people call you directly? Or did
sure.
they email you?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Absolutely. My number is not hidden from anybody. I'm on different websites, but you can call me directly. You can email me directly. My direct line is 509-313-3996, or you can email me at Wilkey, and that's Wilkey, at gonzaga.edu. If I don't answer you right away on a phone call, I will call you as soon as I can. If you don't remember that, you can always remember 509-313-2222, and they will get a hold of me. You will get a live person who will let me know that you're trying to get a hold of me.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Becky, for joining us and sharing your story and your wisdom. And I think this will expand what it is that the university and our Gonzaga broader community understands about campus security and public safety. This was a wonderful interview. I've learned a lot, even though I've worked with you for 5 years now, but just in this interview here. So thank you. Thank you to our listeners for riding along with us today for today's episode. Please share, like, and subscribe to The Ride Along on Instagram, Twitter, and Mixcloud. And until next time, Zags, we'll see you when we see you.